The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
On today's UFC Unfiltered, we got the great hip-hop legend Everlast is in studio talking about his new album. We got my buddy Phoenix, and we got Lou.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Crazy. Not yet. Hold on. Crazy. Few days for me. Phoenix Cannavale. Jimmy's not here, people. I like to do a lot of crazies, and people are like, why does Matt start it off? Because Jimmy usually starts it off. Jimmy likes to show that he's the guy that's been in radio longer. And every time I say radio, Jimmy's like, it's a podcast. I go, really? Nobody's looking at us right now, motherfucker. And we got a microphone and headphones on.
Broadcasting is the term.
Whatever. Whatever.
What was crazy?
Hey, listen, could you watch it on TV right now?
No.
All right.
There you go. What was crazy?
How do you listen to it? Through like you're fucking in your car? All right, I made my point. But the thing is this, Phoenix. I'm here with the great Phoenix Cannavale. I would hit my applause button, but Chris, the producer, is also not here. Fuck it. Chris, the producer, is somewhere with his lovely wife on vacation. So, and listen, the guy deserves it. I give him a lot of shit, but he's a good producer.
He is.
Most of the time, he's a good producer. The reason why I say that, because, you know, oh, by the way, people, we're going to have Everlast in studio.
Yes. Yeah.
See, it's not bad. It's not big, because also, who's the Mr. Oz, the guy behind the curtain over there? It's Lou. I just say Lou. I can't say Lou the producer, because it's weird. Lou is the producer today. But it feels like that's Chris's nickname, Lou. Chris the producer.
Yeah.
I can't say Lou
it's
the producer.
Sort of
I just
like,
say Lou.
It would be like his rap name.
You know what I mean?
You know?
I just say Lou. It would be his rap name.
Yeah.
But people get like a nickname,
Chris
so I feel
producer.
It's like giving him the same nickname. I love Lou. I know Lou for a long time. Lou, we went over this before when you last time you were here. But what? Fucking over a decade. I met you before I had the belt, or when I had the belt, or what?
When you had the belt.
What? Is your shit on?
Yeah, I think so.
Your mic's not on, man. I don't hear you on my phone.
It's low.
Oh, boy. Hold on.
Right? No, it's okay. And, dude, you keep this in. You don't cut shit out of this show.
Oh, no.
This is unfiltered.
No, I'm not.
I'm just making sure because we have a guest producer. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. My team is gone. No, you're my team. But where the fuck is everybody?
Change is good sometimes.
I'm so happy you're here, though, Phoenix.
I'm happy to be here.
Phoenix,
I miss you when I don't see you.
You know what happened to the show the other day? We're going to get back to our relationship, Lou, when you get that thing fixed.
My mic is broken.
Your mic's broken?
Is it? Oh, shit.
I wanted the world to get to know Lou. But that might have to be. You fix that thing, and that's going to happen. Phoenix, can I just tell you about
the last couple days?
You know, I knew Jimmy was going to be gone for Tuesday's show. I was going to have my buddy Jamie English, and I knew you were going to be here. Everlast is coming in. From House of Pain, also known as Whitey Ford. He's a fucking stud.
Yeah.
And also we're calling the great Kevin Gausselin. So we got a crazy show today. It's going to be a blast. You know what I mean? Even though it's starting off a little shaky. In other words, I want my fucking soundboard. Lou does a good job. He pressed that thing when I said Everlast.
What that means is you're going to have to do sound effects.
Yeah. No, don't fuck it. You don't have that. Don't fuck with that board. You don't have fucking Lou. I love Lulu. You can talk though. Don't feel Lou's giving
I
them.
Can't.
Yeah, you really can't.
He's yelling
it's
across
actually
the
hysterical.
Room.
But don't go doing any fucking punchlines with that thing. That thing was my the fucking board. I get so happy with the board.
Yo,
hit that applause button for my buddy Everlast.
What's
like,
up?
Like Larry from Three's Company. I fucking
Everlast
love it.
Everlast is here.
What's up, man? Come on in, man. We're on air. Put that thing. We're getting going. Sorry, we were a little bit late. No, dude, I got here late too. First of all, you look fucking great. I'm getting there. 15 pounds off my goal. I lost 30 pounds so far. The last when was the last time I seen you?
I was in New York for I did the podcast when you were uptown. It was uptown. That's why I thought it was going to be even crazy late. I went downtown like for some reason instead of 232 or whatever, you know, I said 32.
Yeah.
And wound up there, but luckily it was only a few blocks down.
I got the fucking memory of a goldfish, but I miss you, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. I know we talked either through Instagram or text. No, I texted you.
Yeah, we holler. We holler once in a while, you know what I mean? I make sure you're getting your pizza intake, you know what I mean?
What are you now? How much I wanted to ask because when I saw you last, because you were down when I first.
I was just
met,
starting.
When I, first
I was
met
just getting going.
Last, he was heavy, man. Yeah, and I can say that because as a fucking fat guy.
I was like almost 280.
Wow.
But I have like such wide shoulders and I'm like kind of tall, so it's like you don't notice it till it's just crossed to the line.
Yeah. Try being 5'6", motherfucker. I gained a little bit of
weight. See, when you're a woman, you know that you're gaining weight because you get extra wedgies. Like that's, or maybe I'm just Puerto Rican and that's what I think, but extra wedgies.
Like me, Phoenix.
Yeah, I am.
You know what I mean? But like, you just get wide. Not you, me.
No, I do too. I did too.
What are you doing? Are you just dieting or are you training?
I'm about to start training again. Yeah? Some jiu-jitsu again.
Where'd you say you were rolling?
I used to roll with Marcus Vinicius at Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, nice.
That school's not there. I don't know where. I don't know where he moved, but I moved far away, and then like I just came back to the LA area, and I'm about to start rolling with an old friend of mine. They call him Sugar Pop.
Sugar Pop.
Yeah. He's phenomenal. Like he rolls a lot. Like
he's been around a while.
Oh yeah. I'm ashamed to know. I'm ashamed to say that I've known him so long and I know him by his. I know his real name, but it's escaping me right now. But everybody knows Sugar Pop. He's a legend. He's a legend. Not just in fighting. Like he's a music guy. He's like. He's, you know, he trains my drummer. He's a really, really good jiu-jitsu dude.
You enjoy jiu-jitsu?
Oh, yeah. I stopped because I got all fat and, like, the hip escapes got really problematic. I was hurting myself every time. Now that I'm getting down where I feel great, I haven't had back problems in months.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Since I seen you last, I don't know how much more you dropped since I seen you last, man.
I think I was about halfway here when we saw each other last.
How's it feel?
Good. I've actually been kind of like just staying at one spot for a couple of months. I haven't lost anything. I hit that wall, but I haven't gained. So that's why I'm like, maybe it's time to start the training back up again, you know?
The diet? Tell me, are you
just
on a strict thing?
The biggest thing is I was a soda junkie, man. I would drink that shit like it was crack. And
you'd be so proud.
I stopped drinking soda and like probably 15 of it melted off within like instantly almost.
Well, because two cans of soda, that's 400 pounds. So think about what 400 calories. So think about what that is at the end of the week.
It's not even the calories as much as that's 80 something grams of sugar.
Yeah.
That's bad. And you aren't doing diet.
It's horrible. No.
It's not good either.
And what do I do all day? I sit in front of a, you know, desk
studio.
Working on stuff, you know, not doing much.
Right.
So I walk. You know, just to get up and get going, like take the wife out. We walk with the kids, and you know that's really. I'm occasionally a little bit of workout, but not much.
That's what's fun about. That's what I love about the martial arts is that you get a workout in, and you it's fun, man.
Like, you're learning at the same time. It's limitless. It's not
it,
as
man.
Boring.
I love jiu-jitsu. Ever since I got done fighting, I haven't sparred a day because I didn't take any more. Withdrawals from the fucking bank because I can't afford that. I got kids. I don't want to. You know what I mean? But I'm rolling. 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and it's it's fucking fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back into it. I just now that I moved back closer to LA, I'm in contact with guys I know. I could never just go to a jiu-jitsu school and roll with a class because I don't trust anybody.
I don't blame you.
I only roll with like a Matt Serra because I play guitar and it's like I don't need a guy who's overzealous.
I'll get more hurt with a white belt than I do.
Ripping my arm out of its socket and I can't play guitar, you know?
First of all, if we ever did get together, you're the guy doing that to me because we're going to work and we're going to have fun. And I'd love to get
No, but that's because you're a master and a teacher. Like when if you get in a class with like 20 blue belts and a couple white belts, then everybody wants to, they're all on their thing. I just want to learn. Like the great thing about when I did, like I almost got my blue belt under Marcus, but like I moved away. I had my five stripes on my belt, and I probably if I would have done another month, I probably would have got my blue belt. I would go 3 times a week and roll with just him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even let me roll till he made me throw up from exercising first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he literally would run me around the gym.
Calm your ass down
until
before.
I threw up, and he said, "Now we can start training."
Yeah.
No, that's good. He wants to make sure you're not using strength and using your power because you do that warm up.
Yeah, he would get. You know? And when I first started, it didn't take that long. But after almost a year of it, like it would be like 45 minutes to like, you didn't really have to puke at some point. I didn't puke, but it was like. He's like, okay, now we can start class.
Did you follow martial arts as a kid?
I mean, not in a series, nothing beyond like, you know, movies and Bruce Lee and that kind of stuff. But yeah, huge fan.
I feel like our hip-hop generation, right? And it's me sitting here with my Wu-Tang tattoo. But I think our generation was really appreciative of like movies and action and kung fu and martial arts. Like it just seemed like it was part of our pop culture at that time.
I'm sure it was the same here. You know, I was growing up in Cali, even though born out here and whatnot. But There was only 5 channels on TV, and usually one or two of those on the weekend would be dedicated to like
Saturday morning kung fu
movies. Yeah, there'd be like a kung fu movie time, and you get all the kung fu movies. Like,
Return of the Dragon, almost Bruce Lee was Chuck Norris. I mean, I remember that as a kid, and just being like mesmerized.
Yeah,
you know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
I just, something about it, I just loved the combat.
Because Bruce Lee seemed like he had his shit together. He just like understood the world.
He was ahead of his time.
You know,
man.
Be water,
yeah,
be
my
water,
friend.
My friend.
Hey man, what are you doing on the? What are you doing out here anyway?
I got an album coming out a week from Friday on the 7th called Whitey Ford's House of Pain.
Nice combination.
I like the way you put everything together. Tell me about that.
It's just it's been 8 years. You know, my first kid was born with cystic fibrosis, so adjusting that life just took a long time. I took a step back and did the family thing and made sure we were. Learning how to deal with this disease and protect her from it because it's a very complex disease. Involves the lungs, the digestive system, it's pulmonary, respiratory, all that. You know, it's a genetic lifetime thing. So you have to learn a lot. Like there's a lot of things that are harmless to us. Like water, stagnant, like a little bit of water sitting here has a bacteria in it called Pseudomonas. That's harmless to most of us, but if she breathes it in and gets it in her lungs, it's like staff. Staff is another one, a big one. It's another reason I don't like rolling in gyms with guys because the staff thing, I never know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The guy's a like, dirty bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
I know from having schools, the place can be clean as hell, but if a guy doesn't wash his gi,
Is
she doing okay?
She's doing really
good
right now.
She's told me last time.
She's in school, and like at first we didn't keep her. We didn't send her to school because their immune systems are kind of compromised. So kids getting sick, they get really sick and wind up missing a lot of school, but. When we moved to a place that has amazing school. Like, the entire school is like less than 400 students. I think there's like 15 kids in her class. So we sent her back to school with them having full knowledge, and they've been taking such good care of her, and she's loving being in school. You know, she's kind of kept in a bubble for a while.
I was about to say, you have to.
Now we kind of are like, well, she's got to live. You know, she's got to live, you know?
Yeah, it's very, it's got to be.
She's doing great. She's doing great.
As a father, you know what I mean? You have two.
I have two. Yeah. Sadie is my. She just started kindergarten last week. Wednesday.
Mine went to orientation today. My youngest.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy, man.
It's beautiful.
It's crazy. I love it, man.
It hits a different side that you never felt.
And when I was younger, if you would ask me when I had kids, I would have told you, "Yeah, I'm having a bunch of boys."
Me too, man. Dude,
I love my life.
Me too.
I love
Same
my
thing.
Life, dude. Two girls. I'm loving it.
You probably didn't realize until you met her, Sadie. Like, in other words, when your wife's pregnant, did you find out you were going to have a girl?
Oh, yeah.
I found
Sadie. With Sadie, we had to because, so this is morbid. She was an accident, kind of, like, not planned, not an accident. Mm-hmm. She wasn't planned. Because there's me and my wife, it's a genetic disease, cystic fibrosis, which means my wife and I are carriers of this disease. It's a wild story because Nobody in our family's history has ever had cystic fibrosis. So we had no clue we were carriers. No, like when the doctors, now it's mandatory to test for some, like for that, like with the parents, like to know, are you carriers? Yeah. So we know there's a risk. But this was like right before that change happened. So the doctor just asked us, any history of this or that and this? Yeah. And I remember him asking, any history of this, any history of this, any history of cystic fibrosis? Like, nah, okay. So they didn't test it. They just assumed like, well, there's no history, so we won't bother. And like, so we were just, you know, when we got the news, it was kind of devastating.
Yeah. Well, oh, so while she was pregnant.
Oh, no. When Layla was born.
Yes.
What I was talking about, I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked.
No. Hey, dude, look at him talking to.
When we found out we were going to have Sadie,
yeah,
having two children with cystic fibrosis is really problematic. They can just pass stuff back and forth their entire lives. A lot of people do it. More power to them. We had kind of come to the conclusion that didn't know if we were prepared to do that.
Yeah.
We were lucky to find that after waiting 10 weeks and they do this test where they stick the needle into the belly and pull some DNA out and they test, and then we found out she's not even a carrier. So
that's great.
She's meant to be. Like, she's going to be with her sister her entire life.
That was so great.
Even though it wasn't a planned event, we realized like that was necessary. It was supposed to happen.
That's great.
And she keeps the whole family together. Sadie's the glue. Sadie's the glue.
You have it anymore.
We don't have any plans to have anymore. Right? I may adopt like a kid.
Oh, that's great.
Like a boy, like a son. Like, go find some.
Did you see that viral video?
Oh my God, the girl.
I cried.
You know what?
I was in tears.
The subject before you all lose respect for me, Everlast. I got three kids.
Oh, dude, I was like sobbing. Like, oh man.
I'll be wearing my sunglasses in 2 fucking seconds if we keep talking about that. But listen, if anybody's seen it, they can just Google kid getting adopted.
Oh yeah, I think Dana posted it. A couple of people posted it.
Yeah, no. So when my wife was pregnant, and I found out it was a girl, I'm not gonna say I was. It's not that it's a disappointment. It was just.
Man, it was like, holy crap! How am I gonna deal with that?
Yeah. Having boys. Once I had my oldest, you know, I have three girls, so it's like I didn't even. Even my wife's like, "You want a boy? Don't you want to try for a boy or anything?"
That's the trap.
Like, what did you want?
I know so many dudes with like four daughters because they just were like, it's got to be a boy, the next one, right?
First of all, a boy, you gotta raise a man. That's a big, and I'm sure I would love that, a boy. But, man, let me tell you something. Having three girls, if I had another girl, I'd be fucking happy with four girls.
Really?
110%. Oh, I have such a great bond with all my girls.
They love their daddy.
Let's get back to hip hop now because this is gonna go fucking.
No,
sick.
I love talking about this, man.
I miss you, buddy. I haven't seen you in a while. Well, how long do we got you today?
I'm just here.
I don't know.
Oh, will you hang out during the interviews and stuff too? You want to help us out and stuff?
Who's my man you brought with?
It's my man Poe. He is a up and coming director, shooter.
Oh, really?
He's my guy right now. He follows me all around till he blows up, and I can't afford him
nice
anymore.
Nice to meet you, Poe. All right.
Are you doing like a mini doc about the album release? No, or
just feeding the gram and shit like that mostly. I mean, he's begging to do one, but
it's important.
We'll see how much footage he sneaks together over the next. Wow. Yeah.
So now Whitey Ford's House of Pain. Now it was kind of always where you were either. It was separate pretty much. Like the Whitey Ford was a total for the house. I grew up on the House of Pain music. Grew up. How old are you, buddy?
I'm 49. I just turned 49.
I just turned 44.
It's crazy.
So it's funny. I guess I was in high school, whatever it was. But that's when it was fucking kicking, man. Like in the fucking 90s, right?
Yeah.
So and then when you. How long was it when you started before you started Whitey Ford, that album came out from House of Pain?
Well, after the third House of Pain album, I kind of quit.
Yeah.
And just a friend of mine out here in New York, Dante Ross.
Yeah, it's a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah,
amazing producer.
Called me up and was like, "What are you doing?" And it's a crazy story because I got to tell another story to kind of if I'm really going to tell the story. I quit House of Pain, I got really depressed because I was like, that was my second go around in the record business. Who the fuck gets three? You know what I mean? Luckily, I made some money and I wasn't like destitute or anything, but I was just depressed. Like, okay, what's next in life? Right. And my friend called me. Oh no! And I went to the doctor because I was having these panic attacks about dying.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had heart issues, right?
I'm getting to the whole story. The whole story that led to Whitey Ford Sings the Blues is bananas. because I went and saw my doctor. He's like, hey, yo, it's cool. You're having panic attacks, man. He's like, let me give you this. And he gave me this drug called Zoloft.
Mm.
And I started taking it. And fucking for 3 days, I just sat in front of my TV, literally catching myself drooling and be like, fuck, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
But I felt good. I was like, I wasn't depressed. I was like, all right, cool. I'll just sit here and be high. And my buddy Dante calls me and he's like, what's going on? And I guess the way I sounded, he was like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. My dog got me on this stuff. And I told him what it is. And he's like, dude, that's like lithium or fucking Prozac or something. I was like, and my doctor didn't really tell me that. I was just like, word? He just said it'll help his panic attacks. So the panic attacks, by the way, were very specific things that I felt that I was going to die. Like, it wasn't like just I'll sit here and like felt doom. It was like, no, you're going to die. Something kept saying, you're going to die.
Wow.
Right?
And it's your instincts. It's like,
dude,
you feel it.
Yeah. Dude. So like, I stopped taking the Zoloft. Dante was like, stop taking that shit. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to stop taking it. He was like, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know what to do. He's like, come to fucking New York. Let's sleep on my couch. We'll just start making music. We won't worry about record labels. We won't worry about any of that. Even though I had a deal and all that, they didn't. I quit House of Pain. That's what they cared about. So we started making a rap record. And if you listen to Whitey Four Sings the Blues, it's like half all like just straight rap songs.
Yeah.
That was like the first part of the work. I used to strum a guitar for fun. And I was in his apartment sitting on his couch while he was doing something in the back. God knows what. And I was strumming this thing, which was what it's like, but it wasn't really finished or hadn't been polished or anything. And he came running out like, what in the fuck is that?
It's a great fucking song.
I understand.
It's a great song.
If you don't know who Dante Ross is, he's one of the greatest producers in A&R. He has just an ear for talent. He's a phenomenal human being.
P-Rock, CL Smooth, Busta Rhymes, Old Dirty Bastard, Queen Latifah, De La Soul, Brand Nubian. I mean, he's that guy.
Yeah.
It's just a different sound. That struck me. So it was so odd for me was that when you came back and you said it was 3 years later with the Whitey Ford album. Was that 3 years?
No, it was 98. I quit in 96. I quit House of Pain. So 98.
Oh, all right.
Whitey Ford
years
came
later,
out.
You come back and it's like that's Everlast. Now he's Whitey Ford, and he fucking sounds different. He's singing different. But it's still awesome, which is very. That's got to be. It's almost like Michael Jordan. Hey man, he's playing baseball. He's not right. He's not fucking nearly as good as he is with the basketball. Is that the same kind of fucking? Is that a bad analogy?
No, I get
it's a bad analogy. It's horrible.
Michael Jordan was not a good baseball player.
Put the boom button, motherfucker. I wish I had my soundboard. I wish I had my soundboard.
Right.
I normally control that shit, and I would lose great. But I know other producers usually have my shit right here, and I hit that fucking boom button on myself.
It was still
fuck
great.
That's a good analogy. Hey, Lou, fuck yourself.
No, if you think what you said, though, was what you wanted to say was it would be like if Jordan played baseball and was good.
Was good.
Wait, first of all, I didn't finish, motherfuckers.
Well, do you ask for judgment on your comment?
No,
you're not done.
No,
that's your issue.
Listen, I'm not done. Let me go. My point is, I thought like you're in my head, like we know each other well. I thought that you'd know what I was talking about. I'm not done yet. Let me. I was in the hospital for a few days. We'll get to that in a second. I just got out of the hospital yesterday, motherfucker.
Yeah.
What?
I was about to tell Phoenix.
Too much
got
pizza.
So if I'm a little off today, seriously, I had some fucking. I don't know. I don't want to talk about Everlast, but
I'm
here. Really fucked up. I was in the hospital since Sunday night. We missed our show. The audience doesn't even know why we missed our show on Tuesday. They don't know that.
Let them know. Tell them.
Can I tell you?
I think you'll be telling both if you tell me.
Listen, this is what happened. I was with my wife and kids and the family, and we were visiting my sister up by Bear Mountain, you know? And we went to an Italian joint. I don't know if I caught a bug. I don't know what the fuck it was. I'm going to the bathroom every half an hour. I'm going to do the short version, which is going to probably still be fucking long. And then past that. But so I'm all night long. We stayed from Thursday night to Friday night because then we're going to go to some. My sister and my kids are going shops and this and that. After the Italian food that Thursday to Friday night, Thursday night, I'm just in the bathroom all night. And shut the fuck up, Lou. Look at me for a second. I got the attention of a fucking goldfish.
Bathroom,
touch that again.
Italian food.
See your fucking ponos how to do arm locks. So I was at the fucking at that. Oh, fuck, it's fucking Lou, the producer. Fucking, so I was Where was I?
You talking bathroom.
You touched the thing again? I broke your fucking neck.
You were on the toilet for most of that. All night, for most of that, so far.
I was on the toilet, right? And there's fucking blood in my stool. I'm going, are you glad you came in? Are you glad you came in, Everless? Everless, I miss you. Are you glad you came in?
I love you.
Listen, so there's fucking blood in my stool. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here, man? Bad stuff. Like, I go in like intervals. I feel like, yo, there's a little more. I'm pushing Phoenix. I'm pushing on my belly to try to get this
out. Were you
out.
In pain?
In fucking, yeah, bad, like shit pains. But I'm not fucking shit, Everless. You understand?
Was it like sweaty shit pains? Like, were you sweating? Like,
no, and then I'm getting, yeah, it was bad.
Isn't this fun?
So
anyway, you know, the next day I was all right, a little bit better. And then we come back. I watched the guy sparring on Saturday. We got Marab and Aljo. I'm going to Moscow. We'll get back to that. Okay. Marab is fighting in Moscow September 15th. And Aljo is fighting.
When
September
am I in 8th. Russia? Wait a minute. I'm in Moscow like in a week or two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not
when?
The...
September what? Bobby does September 15th.
Oh, I think it's next week. Okay. Yeah, next week. I'm going to miss
you. So anyway, I'm watching these guys sparring. It was fucking awesome, man. I was working with them on Saturday. We were hanging out. Me and Longo caught a tan behind the fucking joint. And Lord,
I saw that Instagram.
Yeah. It was a great day. Me and Longo get some rays. The guys had great sparring technique. I had a great time. That night, shitting and chills all fucking night.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, Sunday, I had my doctor friend come over. And you know what's good about this show? I'm very honest. I gotta be honest.
Extremely.
If I'm not honest, what the fuck we listening to? It's unfiltered, Lou. I forgive you, Lou. Don't touch that fucking thing again. I love Kimura's, Lou. I'm not threatening. I love you, but don't touch it.
It sounds kind of like a mafia movie.
Listen, no,
I forgive you, Lou, and stop. Then you're gonna get a hit out on you later on today.
So, Phoenix. Yes. Everlast.
Shitting and chills. Let's go. Come on. I'm invested in this.
So my doctor friend comes over. She's checking me out, and she's like, something's wrong. And
the diagnosis.
No. She had
something's not wrong. Right.
She had to check my prostate.
Yum.
Yeah. No, listen to me. It wasn't fun.
So
it wasn't fun.
You were like,
you're thinking, hey, you
dude,
know,
I'm
no.
49. You think I haven't had my prostate checked? Come
she
on.
She goes, you gotta go to an ER. You gotta go to the ER. Okay. You gotta get checked out. Something's up with you. She's, you know, more than that, but I'm giving you the quick version, motherfuckers. This is fucking quick as shit. So anyway, I get there with my wife. You know, she insists that, you know, she's always by my side. She don't want to leave. And I'm fucked. And they fucking admit me. How about the guy admitting me? This chubby Portuguese guy. And I love how they're fucking experts at everything. So I'm giving him the symptoms. He's like, well, okay, this sounds like chronic. Colitis. He's like, if that's the case, you know, your life's about to change drastically. And then he keeps typing. Motherfucker, really? How about you fucking ease into it, you cocksucker?
I mean, that's true.
I don't give a fuck. Shut
he's the
fuck
receptionist.
Yeah, he's the fucking receptionist. Hit the applause button. Hit the fucking applause button. He is.
Wow.
Motherfucker.
I don't know.
What the fuck was that?
It was the Max Katie laugh.
Some maniacal laugh.
Yeah.
That's the wrong one. The Weidman applause, it's called. Thank you very much. Lou, I'm happy to see Lou, though. He brings a good energy.
Receptionist.
Okay, the receptionist.
You got so anyway. The receptionist tells you have colitis. Let's go. I'm invested.
This is going to be a short story. So I'm in there, dude. My fucking insides are feeling fucking awful, man. Awful bathroom. Now there's more blood. I don't know what the fuck's up. My shit. So they give me a CAT scan. The shit's inflamed. Yeah. Okay. They admit me. So now I'm fucking there overnight. It is fucking brutal. They need a stool sample, Everlast. Phoenix, you want to talk? Let's talk. They needed a stool sample. Picture this. Now, I don't want to get graphic. I'm telling the audience right now. Poe, and I'm telling you also because you look a little wheezy. If anybody, listen, I'm not going to get too graphic, but I might get a little graphic. It's going to get a little yucky, but I got to be honest with you, what I had to go through. You want to live, people got to realize what the fuck I've been through, Everlast, last couple of days, if I'm a little off today. So they need a stool sample. Dude, I haven't eaten nothing in a while, man. So I'm fucking, just picture this now. Picture taking a thick tomato sauce and picture putting that like with a thick popsicle stick. Picture putting that into a cup. How's that going to work out for you?
It's messy.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah.
I've been there.
It's not good. Phoenix.
I have not been there.
I've been there. I don't know why.
It sucks.
I have not been there.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I'm staring at Lou right now. I wish I had my clipboard. My
so what happened?
So what happened? This is what I want to get to, because I can't wait to talk more about Whitey Ford's House of Pain. I love his music. What are you doing after this, by the way?
Jesus, you're like ADD fucking master, dude.
Are you running right around?
I'm invested in the shit story, man.
I miss you. Are you finished? Are you just running? You got all the.
I'm here. We established that. I'm here. Finish the shit story.
This for a little bit.
Okay. What's wrong with your guts?
All right, so this is what happened. I like to keep people in suspense. You're thinking it's ADD, but I like to keep people in suspense. Even Post Smile will be like, but that guy remembered
one. This is not
second.
Suspense. This is like not even a sequel. This is up to the fifth rendition.
No, we're there. This is almost there. So anyway, this is the long and short of it. I had to get a colonoscopy, right? And my shit was just inflamed. They don't know if it was. I got through the shit story. Okay. I was there. So then they did the colonoscopy, and it's basically I got the colitis, but they don't know if it's a short term thing. I might have
irritable bowel.
You know what you were talking about, that bacteria.
IBS? Yeah.
They had a lot of bacteria in there.
Right.
But I had I could find the positives in anything. I feel like because they gave you that drink. You know the deal. You did the colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had a fucking cleanse.
Yeah.
I hit that applause button, please. I feel Everlast. I feel fucking great.
Did they make you drink the stuff and you just it empties you out?
Yeah. Remember I told you how I felt.
You got to do that once a year now.
For the longest time, really. I know my mother died from colon cancer. I had the thing in my stomach. What's the matter?
Because you got to take care of this.
I know. So listen.
Sorry.
I told you
I'm an overprotective friend.
I had that thing in my stomach. I felt like I had to push it out.
Right.
So when I drank that fucking solution. It's like a water. It's like you're peeing at your hiney. I don't want to get graphic,
right.
But that's graphic.
That's, yeah.
And that's what it is, you know?
Pee butt. We call that pee butt.
Normally it sucks. It felt fucking phenomenal. It felt phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'm like, dude.
You had a spring in your step when you came in.
Ready? Hold on. I'm about to show my abs to Everlast. Give the thumbs up or thumbs down. Be honest, though. Are we not close?
You're not recording this?
Come on. Look at this. My bad? Look at this. Yes!
Better
he
than
gave
mine.
The thumbs up. But
better than mine.
Everlast, you gotta understand, I'm known for being a fat guy. So this is good. I am pretty known. I'm known for being kind of like a Ninja Turtle. I gotta kind of change my ways a little bit.
Yeah.
With the food.
Yep.
I do.
One thing that I do that helps my guts a lot, because I actually got diagnosed with diverticulosis.
Oh, that's, yeah. Right, you know diverticulitis. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, diverticulitis is when it's like actually bad.
Inflamed?
When it's going bad. Yeah. Diverticulosis just means you have it.
So there's a lot you can't eat. You can't have nuts.
Really? Pretty normal. It's just moderation and you know.
Right.
But CBD, like little gel caps.
Yes.
I take once a day.
Absolutely. So anti-inflammatory.
You told me about the you were taking the fiber gummies.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, those are good.
And I do those.
Those are good. Those are
I gotta lay off the fiber for a few days though. I'm just reminding myself, UFC Unfiltered Army. That's what. Anytime something that comes into my head, it'll be in and out like a fucking ninja. You understand?
I got you. I'm with you. We're both invested in this.
I gotta clean up my act. And it's inspiring. You're inspiring with how much you lost, buddy. And you're keeping it off. I was hoping when I saw...
Eat a little better, drink a little better.
And do some jujitsu.
That's coming. I'm coming
see
back.
What you're wearing with that collar? Don't you know? Don't you? You fucking, look at that collar. That's why all these guys now, they love the no gi, and it's great. I'll tell you, you know my fuck. You know what
I say. Great for MMA. It's great for MMA.
Yeah. But like right now, if you
in the street,
like,
I'm gonna choke you with your jean jacket.
Right. That's right. Right. Sports specific.
They better be fucking stripped like Debbie Moore in that fucking movie back in the day. They better do that thing quick, because I will fucking strangle somebody. And it'd be a shame if you get attacked. I don't give a fuck about the next no gi tournament. If you get attacked and you can't put somebody to sleep with a fucking jacket on, that's fucking ridiculous. You know, if you're a jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
I get fucking angry about it. So anyway, I got done with my story, right? I got some. I'm going to see the guy again in a month. They got some tests they're doing and this and that. But my shit was all inflamed. Way better now. I lost some weight, and I feel fucking good.
And now you have
great.
A reason. You have a reason to eat healthy and stay away from the pizza.
What?
Stay away from the pizza
that dairy,
daily.
Man.
Yeah, Lou,
that
I'll
dairy.
Give you,
yeah,
you
okay for that, that'll mess you
that
up.
That dairy is rough on the system, dude.
The dairy. No, I'm going to just, I tell my wife, we're hitting up Whole Foods, and we're going to see what we do. You know what I mean? Gotcha. We're going to do the right thing.
Let me tell you something. I'll never be a full-blown vegetarian or anything, but I've been cutting way back on red meats
because me
I love it. I love steak. I love burgers. Beyond Meat burgers, they're plant-based. They are good, and they taste like real burgers, dude. It's really good.
Really?
It's really good. Meat? Yeah, Beyond Meat. It's a brand. I believe that's the brand name. It's
Beyond Meat.
Find it in the store.
Remind me about that.
Yes. I will. I'll
give
send
it a
you
try.
Text.
Throw a couple on the grill. If you don't like the burger, you know, let me know.
Burgers.
I'm telling you, a guy who doesn't fuck with that stuff, that stuff's pretty good.
Beyond Burgers. No, I'm a guy.
I think it's called Beyond Meat.
I'm a Beyond Meat. Beyond See this? Meat. Yeah. See, that's why I fucking suck. I can't, he just told me. Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat.
Remind me, Phoenix, please.
I will, I swear. I'm there. I got your back. Look, I got your back. I'm getting it all today.
Could you definitely remind me about that?
Beyond Meat.
I'll shoot you a text, man.
So can we talk about your album?
Please, 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 please.
Can we talk about the album?
All right,
enough of my ass. And you're also performing, you're performing right before 229, right? So you'll be in Vegas?
Yeah, I am actually going to, we're going to do a sort of, you know, I don't know if it's official or unofficial yet,
right.
But UFC pre-party for the McGregor-Khabib fight.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
I'm going to play the Brooklyn Bowl in Vegas.
That's amazing. So you're friends
We're
gonna with Dana,
aren't you? We're going to bring all the tools. You were talking about why I called it Whitey Ford's House of Pain.
Yes.
And the main reason is because it's been 8 years since I made a record, and I kind of started thinking about the way my life has gone. And it's possible that, you know, God willing, this ain't the case, but, like, if things went a certain way in my life, it's possible I might stop, you know, I mean, making records to deal with, you know, my home life.
Right.
Not that it's what I want or any of it, but it's a possibility. So I was like, there's a chance this could be my last record. Just a, you know, small
I
chance.
I will make a suggestion, though. Your voice is dope. Like,
you
could seriously do voiceovers, commercials. Like, your voice is dope. And lyrically, you're dope, too. So you could even want to, like, ghostwriting for people. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. But when I started making the album, I was like, well, I'm going to use every tool I got in the toolbox.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to everything I've learned in the 30 years I've been making music, I'm going to put on this record. And then when it was done, I was trying to think of the title, and it was just like, man, it's a little Whitey Ford, it's a little House of Pain, and then it was like, and it just kind of, whoa, hold up, Whitey Ford's House of Pain, that works, and it's, if you sit it on the album, it makes total sense.
Also kind of has like a double meaning too, right?
What it also is intended to do is I feel like the people who have followed me in my life, my career is fragmented in people's minds. They don't associate, a lot of people don't associate the Whitey Ford with the House of Pain or the Everlast the MC, and bringing that all together in one show now is what's going to happen. So, like, if you come to the Brooklyn Bowl, you're getting everything I've done.
The best of
it all.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
I never finished that Michael Jordan and fucking
analogy. Well, I will
I think
tell
you did. I think you did.
Yeah,
I think you did, because it led somewhere really bad.
I'm
good. I think you finished. That was an amazing analogy, by the way.
The song you did with Santana, Turn Your Lights Down? Turn Your Lights Low. Put Your Lights On?
Yeah, Put Your Lights On.
That is probably one of my favorite albums out there. It's probably one of my records out there. And again, because of my generation of hip-hop, lyrics were super, super important. Do you find that there's less of that now, or is just the mainstream stuff not showcasing how good a lyricism?
There's the same amount of garbage and good stuff as there's always been.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's always been garbage. There's always been good stuff in all forms of art, no matter where you look. Pop music in particular, you're going to have a heavier portion of garbage. It's pop music. It's not meant to be permanent, you know?
I look on your Pandora list. What am I saying?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm not trying to look at it, but what are you listening to now, basically?
I don't do Pandora. I don't have it.
No, I don't
know. What do you, like, who's your favorite artist? Like, what do you listen to?
You have you don't have the iPods are out now. It's
like lately, what am I listening? Here, let me just look at what I'm
that's
an easy question
saying.
To answer.
That's what I'm saying. I want to know.
There's no Pandora in here, so that's all why you confused me.
Sometimes I got that stuff when the guys are training, and I got some good shit on, man. Like some stuff, some House of Pain, some
music,
this and that.
Let's see.
And then a track will come on where it should be with like a Cure or something. Like something that should be when I'm alone in my car.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Boys Don't Cry or something. Like, I just, come on. I'm like, I don't know. Must be my wife's.
It's a lot of older rap stuff, you know what I mean? But
what I'm talking about.
Lately, I've been listening to like Sam Cooke.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
You know, Aretha Franklin.
Always.
You know what I mean? God bless the dead.
Yeah.
What about movies? Are you a movie guy, TV guy? You watch any series on Netflix? I like to get to know more and more about my buddy.
Occasionally, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, me and the wifey trying to find shows to watch together. That's kind of one of the things. Man. You know, you got two nights a week, got to be the wifey's. You know,
Walking Dead's coming back, but it turned to shit.
I can't watch it. I used to watch it just to make fun of it.
Never was. I'm not a zombie guy.
You're not a zombie guy.
I'm not a zombie guy, man.
Comedy guy.
I mean, I don't mind horror movies. I've just never been into zombies. You know what I mean?
Zombies. It's almost like everybody likes zombies.
It's hard for me to watch that show because I feel like everybody smells, and I feel like I can smell them.
Well, actually good. That's like actually a very big compliment to the production designer of that movie.
100%.
and the wardrobe people and the makeup people. That's a big compliment.
100%.
That thing's been on for so long. I just don't like.
I'm a Black Mirror guy.
Oh, that show scares the crap out of me.
I watched one episode. It was a guy effing a pig, and I'm like, I can't fucking.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
No, dude, that season's good, dude. No, did you watch that show? Why he's fucking the pig? Like,
yeah,
did you watch?
I get it, but I'm not. I don't know. I don't, guys. I only have so many
fucking hilarious.
In a day.
That one's crazy.
I can be playing my Vine.
But they get better. Like, there's four seasons and they get better.
It is the Twilight Zone. It's the modern day Twilight Zone.
I did a
Zone.
Binge watch of that show, and like for like a week, I was convinced we were living in a simulation. Like that everything's a simulation.
Yeah.
It's like it's the Matrix.
It scares the shit out of you. It's definitely the Twilight Zone.
Could you highlight any episodes for me?
I can.
The season four, start with you like the Star Wars, Star Trek kind of stuff?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
100%.
Season four.
That one's dope.
Episode one. Watch it.
Wait, season four?
Episode one. I will. I'll send you a text message.
Season four, episode one.
Yeah. You're more
Star Wars than you are Star Trek, but
no.
Still,
but it's just the whole. It's the realm of where this thing is at is like all like the Matrix and shit. It's all crazy.
Episode one.
And it's the one that got me to go watch the.
That's what I need. Sorry, buddy. That's what I need. I was like, I got a flashback of my Chris Lytle fight. I just foot stomped fucking Everlast under the.
What happened to the foot stomp? Guys just agreed to not do it. Very rarely do you see it anymore.
I love that fucking thing. People think that's... First of all, there's things... There's the knee kick now where people are doing where... That people are complaining about.
The oblique kick to the side of the knee?
Yes,
that John Jones used to do a lot?
Yeah, but people complain about that, but they think foot stomps are, what, not classy? Dude, I'll stomp the fuck out of somebody's foot.
I think the knee one is a little bit more like abrasive because you can mess up someone's career
their
knee
so
up
why
that
not
badly.
Stomp on a foot. Some people look down on it. Like if anything, and it has that fucking thud. That might have made a difference with my Chris Lytle fight. By the way, I still had to.
In the old days, like when I watched the fight, that would be one of the moves that would most make me go like, ah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, that must hurt.
Well, if you're a female, right? I remember accidentally. This chick stepped on my foot with like stilettos on and my foot was bruised for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, damn, in self-defense, I'm totally doing that to someone.
Oh, well, in a fight with a woman wearing that for sure.
Oh, with heels for sure.
Yeah. Stepping on.
That's everything.
I mean, like the soft tissue.
Put that heel anywhere and it's hurting somebody.
Speaking of MMA, House of Pain. Of course, I know the answer to this one. Conor McGregor versus Khabib.
I'm looking really forward to this. I mean, there's nobody I can take except Conor McGregor on that one.
Of course. You're a huge fan.
I'm Irish, man. I can't. Yeah. That'd be like, it'd be like, you know.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, you can't.
If you
do
didn't
it.
Root for an Italian guy or something.
Do you realize how much your songs played when Irish fighters come out? Do you
have any?
Like, it's just always.
Also, Phoenix. There's a picture. The picture of you looking at Khabib.
Khabib.
Luke, could you get that up there?
What is this?
That was amazing.
What should he go? Everlast?
Dude, let me tell you.
What is this?
With Khabib.
That was the Alvarez fight, I think.
That was Alvarez at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, yeah.
Alvarez.
Connor,
Alvarez just lost to Connor just steamrolled.
Hold on. Let me tell you how this went down.
Go ahead.
I'm sitting in my seat. You know, Dana put me in the cheap seats as usual. So... Which is a complete lie.
Yeah.
Always puts me in the best seats. So I'm with my homie and we're sitting in our seats and like whoever was here had gone over. They were like with the company. So I think they were over there talking to people by the press table and whatnot. And Khabib just comes and sits down. He's watching the fight right before Conor.
Which is great.
And fans are coming up to him and he's like being really cool, really nice.
That's it. You missed it. Go back up.
And talking to fans, engaging with them.
Yeah.
To the right, dude.
I say a few words like, hey, man, Khabib, what's going on? Nice to meet you, man. You know, good dude. And then the next fight starts and Conor walks out and the face changes. And it's the face you see right there. And it doesn't change for the entire fight. He's like,
Oh, wow.
Look at that picture.
But that's me right after. That's so, after knockout right there. And I'm looking at him going like, yo, dude, you're next.
So
Khabib, I was like, dude, you guys might fight, right? Because he was looking at him like, yes, I want to fight him.
Now, the picture for people, what did you Google? What is this under Google? What should they Google to find this?
Unfazed and unmoved.
It's on my Instagram. Somebody made a meme out of it and said, is this Photoshopped? Like, and I was like, nah, that really happened.
It's a great.
It's my boy John from Sweet Chick there.
Is it on your Instagram?
Yeah, somewhere back there. Like, well, I addressed it because I was like, no, and I told the story. I kind of wrote out the story a little bit about Khabib.
I have your Instagram, but give me it one more
time. OG Everlast.
OG Everlast. Yeah, yeah, this is a phenomenal picture. It's Everlast. Everybody's looking. Everybody's looking at Connor, who looks like he's like
he's pointing dancing, to himself, or he's like happy.
Or he's like doing the belt. He's got the belt thing, or whatever he's doing to Dana, I believe, or to the crowd. He must have just finished. Just finished Eddie Alvarez. The whole crowd's looking, and the
Khabib is the only one not smiling.
Khabib is just staring, and he's staring. He's the only. It's almost like Club of Lang looking at a Rocky.
It very much is like that. It very much is like that.
And that's all happening. If that's not enough, of everybody, like mouth open, looking Khabib stone faced. You got fucking Everlast, like a couple of inches away from. Khabib's face, just looking at him like, dude, you're like what do you think of that?
I said, I was like, yo, you guys are gonna fight next. You're next, dude.
That is a phenomenal picture.
But that's an amazing week for you to perform, though. Because
that was also when we went backstage. I think it was the night that they fucking had the problem backstage, him and Khabib. Khabib walked up to Connor. I caught right when the security got involved. Yeah. I was like, what's going on over there? And it was Connor, like, they had engaged, and they just got like 100 people in between them immediately.
How do you think? I mean, obviously, I'm not gonna. What do you think? By arm lock? No, you think he's gonna be able to stop those takedowns and do enough damage there?
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, honestly, every fight I've seen him, you know, at first it was like he ain't got no takedown defense. But if you watch that progression of the last few fights, you know, hey, what I love is the motherfucker, they wanted him to run it back with Nate at 155. And is the way I understand it, he was like, fuck no, we got to run it back the way we ran it the first time. And that's win, lose, or draw. I love that shit. That's the shit I love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's smarter than people give him credit for, and not just in the marketing sense. Like, he's going to come prepared for this fight. He's not going to be like, oh, yeah, he's got great takedown defense. He's going to do it.
I mean, I see what he's doing, too. He's going hard trying to get in Khabib's head right now. You know what I mean? It's really the
case. That's part of his thing.
You know, who's going to win the pre-fight fight is really it.
What got you into, like, MMA and martial arts and watching UFC stuff?
Kung Fu movies and shit as a youngster. But my man Caves from Lords of Brooklyn was the first person to ever tell me about
Lords
the Gracies.
Of Brooklyn. Yeah.
He was saying, you guys, this is like 91 or something. He was like, you guys see these dudes, they fuck up everybody. You're like, everybody. He was like studying arts out in Brooklyn, and he brought, I think, us the tape of UFC 1.
Yeah.
And he was like, watch this. And before we even got to the goddamn Gracies, the tooth going like,
yeah.
It was like, what the fuck is
that, like,
this,
sumo
dude?
Guy. Yeah,
and then
that was
I believe there was a fight where a dude just wound up punching the other dude in his balls till he submitted.
That's true.
How about this?
That's true.
We were just like, this is next level shit right here. What's going on?
That's Keith Hackney versus Joe San.
That's right. It was Keith Hackney that was doing it.
Keith Hackney versus Joe San. Keith Hackney was the same guy who took out
the giant
Emmanuel
killer.
Yarbrough, who was a huge sumo guy.
Yeah, they called him the giant killer, right?
Yeah. He was awesome. He was Gideon Ray's trainer. Gideon Ray was on Tough Four with me. But that fight, and Joe Son was in Austin Powers, and he's also in jail for, I think, life, because, could you see if he's in jail for life? Joe Son, he was Kimo's Chinese guy that was with Kimo back in the day, Kimo Leopoldo. But he's in jail for life. For like a gang rape situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's nothing funny about that.
That's crazy.
That little fucker, he deserved it. He should have got stomped in the fucking nuts, prick.
Well, maybe he's on the other end of that gang rape situation now.
Karma works. Yeah. His karma, little bastard. Yeah, let me know. Get back to me on Joe's son. We'll do that next episode.
I mean, but kudos that his nuts even worked after that fight. You know,
seriously.
Oh, dude. Brutal. Yes, he did go. Yeah, he's away. You know? Lou, next time I need your microphone working. I like you part of the show.
I know. Sorry.
I like you part of the show.
Oh, I thought you just had him punked over there. I saw the mic. I was like, oh, he just can't talk. He's not allowed.
What's that?
So you've done like some pretty cool, crazy collabs. Is there any artist that you would just like love to work with outside of
Tom
maybe?
Waits?
Okay. Just that. Put Tom that
Waits?
Shout out there
Tom
right
Waits.
Now.
Tom Waits. Yeah.
Oh, I should know who he is.
You want to look him up?
No, but tell me about him.
Sort of a what you might. He's a singer songwriter, like kind of started in like a cabaret piano style, and just has done some really wicked, artfully crafted albums. Yeah, and it's one of the most amazing shows.
Do you have any collabs on this one that we should know about?
I got a song on it called "Slow Your Roll" featuring Aloe Black,
and
one other song is called "I Don't Need You," and it's featuring Slug from Atmosphere.
Other
than that, my buddy Evidence produced a few tracks with us. An Alchemist produced one.
Alchemist is great too.
I've known him since he was like 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took him, Scott Kahn, James Kahn's son, who's a huge actor now.
Oh, okay.
He was in a rap group with this producer Alchemist when they were like 13 and Be Real from 13, 14, and Be Real signed them to his own little label. So we all wound up taking them out on tours. Mm-hmm. We have pictures of these kids at 15 with joints like this. we were going 20 at the time, 21, but it was like, you look back and I'm like, oh my God, I'd slap somebody if they gave a kid that joint in front of me now.
Right?
I'm like,
it's funny.
That's why I know I'm old. I'm a dad now.
Yeah, it's different. It's funny.
So we would take those kids out on tour all the time, man, and then. You know, Scott obviously went on to acting fame, and this kid Al just became one of the one of the finer producers in hip hop. So it's nice to see that happen to cats you run with.
Yeah. How often do you play and do gigs and whatnot?
Even when I didn't make an album for 8 years, I would go on a little tour in Europe for a month at a time. So I mean, I'm always playing.
Yeah.
You know? I just took 4 or 5 months off to really finish, mix, master the record and everything, and we're about to kick it back into high gear.
Is it just fun to be in front of a crowd? I mean, when I first met Everlast, I was with Dana, we were doing the show Looking for a Fight. I was on YouTube, Dana White Looking for a Fight. I've never heard of that show. Well, I'd like to do a shameless plug, but we were in
A cast member.
I would love for you to be on the show with us in an episode. You were doing a show and it was in LA or Vegas.
I think it was Vegas.
It was Vegas. And it was so cool, man. That was a cool spot.
Was it up north?
Outside? It was a little bar.
Yeah, it was, his name from Pawn Stars owns it, I think.
Is it?
Beauty Bar, I think
it was
called.
Cool
as
hell, man.
It was a cool little show.
Good scene, man.
They have one here in the Lower East Side.
Then we got some veggie burgers at the Hard Rock.
We did. That's what we did afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. You were humongous. That's why when I see you now, it's like so proud. Isn't it so funny when somebody's healthier? You just want to high five them and be like, yo, good for you. And it doesn't matter what their success is. Like, you could be having everything in the world, but if you're all heavy, you'd be like, oh man, you could still almost like feel bad for that guy. Is that weird?
Because you know that person's unhappy somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no way you're like big, even if maybe it's not depressing the hell out of you, but there's a part of you that's not happy if you're not your optimum health and optimum self.
It is true.
You know what I mean? Even if you're not aware of it. Some people aren't even aware of the fact they're not happy.
Yeah, you can't.
It just manifests itself in other ways. Like, you know, I would eat for comfort. Like, all the shit I was going through with my kid, I really, that's another thing, is I kind of came to the conclusion, like, I was eating for cover pain, mask pain. Like, when I'd be stressed or this, I'd be like, oh, I'll go get a fucking burger.
Something to look forward to.
I'd have to credit therapy with my weight loss almost as much as anything, just because it gives me somewhere to fucking dump everything.
Right.
I don't find myself just in the middle of the night feeling a type way and then going and getting a, you know, pint of Jerry, ice cream and shit.
Now, therapy, you do that a lot? Or no? How many?
Once a week.
Once a week?
Yeah, I've been going about 5 years now.
That's got to be phenomenal.
I've always had like kind of a hot temper. You know what I mean? I'm a hot streak. When Layla was born with cystic fibrosis and I declared war on God, I was very, it was a whole different level of anger. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, So I was like on the verge of like losing it. Like I would like pull people over for cutting me off and like do Starsky and Hutch them and like try to pull them out their cars. I was at the point where it was like, it didn't matter if I beat you up or you beat me up. I just wanted to engage in that. You know what I mean? And it was, I almost got arrested twice. And once was at the clinic with my daughter, and it was actually a misunderstanding. It wasn't my fault, but I had realized that the tone and the vibe I was just setting for myself by the way I was carrying myself, the energy I was projecting was frightening people, like just from the gate. You know what I mean? So when the police came and said people are worried about something, that you're going to do something, I was like, and you understand my daughter's can't have germs. I don't know these cops. They're trying to come in the room with us. I'm like, you're not coming in here. And the cop puts his foot in the door. And thank God for his partner, because this guy wanted to fight me. Like, I was like, yo, my man, we're going to fight for you. Come in here, because I don't know what's on your breath. I don't know what's on your clothes, and you're not getting near my daughter.
Yeah,
I was like, I'll come out there and talk. He's like, no, that we don't. You're disturbing everybody else. I was like, you're disturbing everybody else. I'm in here with my daughter. I don't know why y'all are tripping, but whatever. And then the guy in behind him goes like, where are you from? Because nobody, you know, I talk crazy. You can't place an accent or a fucking, you know, I've been so many places, and I just... influence, you know, it's just a melting pot of fuckery the way I talk, you know what I mean? So he was just, where are you from? And I was like, yo, I'm from New York originally, but you know, and he's like, hey, yo, I'm from New York. He says he's something about, I guess, just my aunt. He was like, he was like, yo, okay, cool, I get it, I understand. And he took his partner and kind of scooted him out of the way, and he started talking to me. The thing got resolved, but the point was, on the way home, I was driving by a car dealership, and it said, there was like, you know, one of those big changing signs where it's like, it's a car sale, but then they'll all have like, they had like a saying flash, and it said, a negative mind will never live a positive life. And I was just already trying to analyze what the fuck went wrong that day. And I was like, yo, I got to do something, because I'm going to kill somebody or beat the shit out of somebody and wind up owning my life.
So, and it's so cool to hear this from the dude who wrote What It's Like.
Say that again, though.
You know what I mean?
Say that again. The quote you just said.
Oh, like, a negative mind will never live a positive life.
I like that.
You know? Well, I don't. It's. I think it's a comment. But like, I saw it at a time when it was like, fuck, I got to get out of this state of mind. Like, because I was like literally pissed at the world, God, the universe, everything. Right. Because like, how could you do this to this little girl? You know, I was on that. Like, and you're dealing with a genetic disease, so. That comes from me. You know, you're dealing with that. You're dealing with that. Like, and that, like, so I had to get into therapy. Mostly it started for anger.
Yeah.
This guy gave me an answer the first day that changed my life.
Now, that's so great. You got the right. Now, do you think it's the therapy or it's the right chemistry with you and this
no,
therapist?
It's definitely the chemistry, because I've tried before, and that's why people would say, you might want to try therapy. Fuck therapy, man.
How many times have you tried more than
once? Half a dozen times. This would probably be the sixth time.
Were you trying to find
over 20 years.
Yeah.
Trying to find the right fix?
No, it would be like certain things would happen. It wouldn't be like a constant search. Like, I would try something when I would be having a problem. It would never be like, I need therapy. But I'd be like, maybe this will help. And I'd just meet somebody, and they'd be like, you could just sense ulterior motives and the things they're trying to say back to you. It's like, yo, this guy that I'll shout him out too. His name's Stuart Lerner. He like was Harry Nilsson's, like, he did rock guys. Like, this dude was like a genius in the 60s. I mean, he still is, don't get me wrong, but like a young up and coming guy, and he got in with the like music scene. So he understands everything about my life and the way it runs. And like, I brought my wife into therapy with us, because there's so many things that like sometimes she can't get when I'm saying it, because it's me, you know how it is sometimes. They don't want to hear it because it's coming out of your face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like hearing it come out of him, so, and be like, yo, this is, you know, sometimes this, that, the other. So it's, man, it's done wonders for us, man.
Oh, you do it together or you do both?
We each do our own, and occasionally we'll jump on together.
I hear nothing but good things about that. I think there's different.
Like, we're not in like a couple's therapy. We're in individual therapy, and then we jump on together and compare notes once in a while, you know what I mean?
That's great.
You really just want to, like, a person who's not involved almost within your life to look outside your life and just an open ear. And what they're supposed to do is make you talk so that you even hear yourself. They ask the right questions so that you...
This guy is amazing. And it changed our lives, so...
I feel training's a form of therapy also. I truly do. When I was younger, I had bad anxiety at one point. And, I mean, the jiu-jitsu just... boom. And even my wife, she's doing kickboxing at my place.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, I have three kids, man. My wife's My youngest is five. It goes 9, 7, and 5. So,
yeah.
You know, could stress my wife out, man. She's back into kickboxing. I got her with my friend Carol Phoebish, and she's just a different person, man. She gets that stress out, and she's feeling just phenomenal. Training is just so important for you. When is Kelvin calling? Kelvin Gastelum.
He was supposed to call in at 1. I'm trying to find him, but I don't
know. Hey, listen, what I was pointing to, because I like to keep everything. People can sense, like, when I like all the behind the shit.
Yeah,
seeing shit that I talk about on air because you know people like the fuck ups. How come I can't see the fucking clock?
Oh, sorry.
If that's what those big numbers. I'm not, dude. Lou, I love you, yeah. But what the fuck?
I know. Sorry. I hit the other one.
We can go over the news.
What is it? What do we got?
59 minutes.
Oh shit, man. So hey, listen,
we can review the news.
I don't think so.
That doesn't matter. We got fucking hip hop royalty in this fucking room. Look at this. This is why,
dude. Here's the thing. If you check the meme though,
hold on.
The meme they did on my page is amazing because what they do is it starts on that picture and then it just slowly like closes in on Khabib's face and it's amazing.
I'm looking for it right now.
At OG Everlast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have you.
Just yelling and hyping up hip hop royalty, I was pointing to the applause button. And I love Lou, but Lou was looking at the fucking his phone or some shit. I love Lou. It's not Lou's fault. It's Chris the producer's fault.
Oh shit, you got
for not getting Lou. Chris the producer goes to fucking Hawaii and he takes my. So listen, could you give me a second, Phoenix?
Yeah.
He goes to fucking Hawaii, and he takes my fucking clip thing with him, my sound machine. Is that cool?
No.
I can't use the applause. When I say hip-hop royalty, you deserve applause. Look, what am I doing? I'm trying to... Hey, no, it's all right, Lou. It's all right, Lou. No, I guess he's not royalty. I guess he's not... What are you waiting for, Run DMC, motherfucker? Holy fuck.
Thank you.
Shit show. I'm so happy you're here.
Jeez, I can't find it, but...
Sorry, Phoenix.
We could review the news while Everlast is here.
You got a couple more minutes?
I'm here, dude.
So happy Everlast is here. I feel like... I feel like I am probably closer to Everlast than I really am.
No, we're buddies, man. We've hung out,
we've
drank.
Since day. What are you reading?
That's the picture from his website.
Oh, see it? Yeah, see, I like just...
Oh, look at this. Oh, that's what you're talking about? Oh, look at that. That's it's fucking
like you
great.
Get to see, like, yo, he's dead
it's
serious.
It's just so funny that you watch the fight and then turn to him immediately.
Well, because like I said, he was engaging before, right. Before that fight. He was super like, hey, yeah. He wasn't like... bubbly, but yeah. He was like friendly and like everybody that came into him, he was real nice about it. But the minute Connor stepped out on the floor, you couldn't talk to him. You couldn't say anything to him. He was just like focused.
Do you ever have that competitive energy as an MC? Like similar to that?
Not anymore. I mean, I rap for me, you know what right. I mean? So, but you know, yeah, when you were young, that's all it was about that. It's kind of like the same, it's all about competition. I mean, when I was
hip hop and martial arts have a
when
lot
my
of
my joints didn't hurt and I broke danced, it was about being the better guy.
I'm so excited about that fight. I'm so excited about that fight. I love
and you're gonna come to the show the night before.
What's that?
You're gonna come to the show the night before,
dude. I gotta get
is there a promo code?
I have to be there, don't I? Don't yeah. I have to be there,
you have
people?
To. You have to.
You can should
we,
have
we
to.
I'm going to talk to Dana. I'm going to say, Dana, just...
I think you need to do like a live podcast from the show or something.
I think I have to. I think work needs me out there. They do. They don't need Phoenix.
I mean,
Phoenix
special
the
footage
fight.
Maybe
it's
you can
the biggest
get.
UFC fight of all time. They don't need me at all. But they need... Listen, the fucking... For the podcast. I'm going to talk to Jimmy. I miss Jimmy, too. I haven't seen Jimmy in a while. I feel like I've been in the fucking... What's that movie? The Black Mirror?
Yes.
Like I've been in the fucking Black Mirror.
I feel
Mirror.
Like I'm in Black Mirror right now. That's how I feel right now.
Oh, we're having fun, Phoenix.
Okay.
Are we?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Listen, before we're going to end this soon.
I'm supposed to be
news.
The person that reins you back in, so
give
I'm failing miserably
news,
right now.
Before we give you news, yes. Bring up news. When is that album coming? Did that
September
album?
7th.
September 7th.
A week from Friday.
Whitey Ford's House of Pain, September 7th.
And is there a promo wait. Code for UFC Unfiltered listeners?
I don't know.
Phoenix, are you asking him?
I'm looking at Lou.
What do we got, mm-hmm. Lou?
We were told UFC Unfiltered would be for a discount on ticket sales.
No, Phoenix, no, it's yes. not going to work like that. We got to fucking, you see okay. that?
The promo code is UFC Unfiltered for discounts on ticket sales for that show. And that's
the tour
dates.
So I guess it kind of is going to be an official yes. pre-party.
It is.
There yep. we go.
Official pre-party, and it's Friday night, which is right before UFC 229.
Awesome. Come on Vegas. Down to the Brooklyn Bowl. We're going to throw a good one.
Yeah.
It's so intriguing because when you hear Khabib talk about the fight, he's saying he's going to take him down. And he's not going to finish him. He's going to be like, he's going to say something. He's going to talk to him.
Punish him.
Like, you want to get up, don't you? You know, and he, like, he's saying stuff like he's going to be. He's just, it's just. And then there was a clip I've seen somewhere of them both talking to their opponents in there, like something like Eddie Alvarez doing something, and Connor, you know, like saying something,
yeah, giving them the business, man.
And then they go to, then they do a clip of Khabib talking to Dana between rounds, talking to Michael Johnson, telling him to quit. You have to quit. I don't like a lot of like people, guys talking to each other friendly during fights, like giving high fives and shit. I'm not too big fan of that. I really ain't. But I love that genuine shit like that is so great to me.
I love that. Don't make me hurt you.
Love it.
Just quit. Give up.
Just give up. Don't make me hurt
he's
you.
He's a horror movie.
I was just telling my homie, literally, Poe, about him, and I was like, yeah, the dude like has been wrestling bears since he was 10. He's like, fuck you. I was like, hold up. I Googled him up.
I love that.
Here he is at 10 years old.
I love it.
Out wrestling a bear.
Yeah. Like, I love it. What was I gonna say about him? His Kimuras. Now, there's guys that like that get Kimuras or they get submissions, and it's like, oh yeah, that would break. That would be a nice arm lock. He will rip that shoulder out of the socket. He knows how to distribute his weight. That, and I've known guys, good guys, that rolled with him over at Henzo's and said how strong he is.
Right.
Like a fucking bear, like a gorilla.
And
like
he does land strikes, bear. Which people never talk about, but he does land strikes because he has such an ability to rush you. And then once he's down, even though he's holding you down, he has great timing in his striking as he can hold you, hit you, hold you again. And, you know, he really is just scary. He scares me.
Did you see my boy Ali Quintus fight with him? I know. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking fight.
On the anniversary of your fame, we were all going like, oh, is this an omen? Is this an omen? Is some crazy shit going to happen?
Everlast, I was just so, it was such a, after fighting, I'm so like lucky and to be like a part of, people like, do you miss fighting? And not a certain things you miss, but it's one thing if your post-fight thing is just shit or boring or something, or if I'm on the couch doing nothing. But being a part of like, and especially if you like love the guys, like I love my guys, you know. So like, you know, Raging Al, like he's fighting Khabib, was a fucking I've been in those kind of shoes, and if anybody was in those shoes, we knew Raging Al is fucking skilled as they can come, and the mentality.
He put some hands on
you. The mentality of this kid. People are gonna look at that fight and say, oh well, look, they could just simulate what Raging Al showed, that he's human, this and that. A lot of other guys. If Al stopped when he was flattened out for 3 more seconds, it would have been over. If he did not fight that choke the way he did, he had to put himself in. He had to put his head in that lion's mouth to pull it out, to get out at the right time. You understand?
Yeah.
Guys who do not want to expose their back to him, they're doing the right things, are getting fucked up. He had to actually do some things that are almost no-nos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I'll take you back.
On a day's notice, motherfuckers.
I'll take you back in this footage of this. I'll take you back to an interview you and I did, I don't know, five, six years ago, when Al almost got choked out from behind. And you said that you start your guys in bad positions. They're used to being in bad positions, so they get comfortable getting out of them. So 100%. I think it has a lot to do with the coaching as well. You guys have prepared them to be in very, very bad positions.
I'll take the compliment, but Raging Al's a fucking warrior.
Yeah.
But so are they going to think Connor is going to do that? Connor did show good takedown defense with a lot of guys. Like, I thought Eddie Alvarez, I'm going to be honest, I thought Eddie Alvarez was going to grapple him and just get him up.
Throw him against the fence, put him on his back. He couldn't get him down.
That is what makes everything so
cool. And he hurt him early.
Khabib's so next level, though.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Khabib is different than anybody, but
this is why we like fights.
But Connor is accurate as a motherfucker.
Oh, so accurate.
You know? Give us one more thing, because
we're on Connor, so we can talk about Connor. But there's still beef between him and Floyd. Actually, Floyd's like, hey, you can come train at my space. You know, come to, you know, the Mayweather camp club in Vegas. And he was actually a really nice compliment. He was complimenting Connor. He wants to come to the fight.
Okay.
And then Connor was like, fuck the Mayweathers. That was his response.
Wait, but they did this on, was this on
Fook
Twitter?
The Mayweathers.
Yeah.
This was on Twitter?
This was on Twitter. And he says there's still beef between him and Floyd.
Yeah.
He's respect to Roger and Floyd Sr. But then I was probably just like, hey, if I ever get to fight him again, let me not act like we're too buddy-buddy. It was probably that type of...
Yeah, but listen, he's a smart motherfucker. He's smart as hell. God is smart. I don't really. To be honest, though, I don't give a shit if they. I don't want to see that again. I'm sure a lot of people might.
I don't need to see it again.
Unless the impossible happens and he gets in the octagon.
That's never going to happen.
Well, but if he if he takes out Khabib, they're building statues of this guy. You know what I mean? Because that will be the. They should just make this movie right there.
I think he has to beat him for his own legacy, because then he will stop all the questions and doubters about people saying that he never fought an amazing wrestler. So for his own career, and because he also never defended those titles, anybody who's ever had anything to say about Conor will have to quiet themselves down just a little bit if he beats Khabib.
Fact.
It's got a lot of drama, and it's going to be huge. And I want to just let the people at home know, we're going to be wrapping this up soon, that I want that the fights from last week, the fight night with Gaethje. Did you see Gaethje's fight the other day?
That knockout was
really quick. Gaethje versus Vic. Let's end on this. Oh, fucking phenomenal.
It was a great knockout, man. It was clean.
And
the memes were even better, because Vic called him the Homer Simpson of the UFC.
You know, I see what
did you see
doing.
That? Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah, well, Vic was, they did the pre-fight stuff where Vic was like trashing about taking out how many shots he takes and this and that, and how, you know, he's in the, you know, he take how many shots around. He had all the numbers written down and everything. And he was playing pretty much the bad guy and being very, very, I'm not going to even say confident, very cocky. And Gaethje's a good dude.
Yeah.
He knows how exciting he is as a fighter, so he's just a very honest guy.
Yeah.
So he's not really trying to play that shit. He's just like, all right, you know, he was coming back at him, but
he said
he's going to
be a humble turd afterwards.
Yeah.
And holy shit, man, that's a karma meme right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mind people talking shit, but you can't sell your soul to do it. If that's not
right,
if you talk some shit, and then afterwards you try to say it was just for the fight and this and that, I get it. But now you're just showing everybody, like, it's just so fake. Like, I was never like that. Like, I remember Chael Sonnen, I said this before, when I was going to fight Matt Hughes, me and him really didn't like each other. So everything I said was genuine, you know? And I remember Chael Sonnen, I was in the hot tub with me, him, my buddy Drago, before he was fighting on the same card. And he was going, listen, the way you sold this fight was just brilliant. Because Chael Sonnen's a big sell.
The heel factor.
Meanwhile, I'm like, oh yeah, thanks, man. He got out of the thing. I go, Drago, he just doesn't know him. Fucking, I really just don't like the guy. And nothing was like staged for the fucking thing. But anyway, funny stuff, man. I can't wait for that. Give one more plug to when Everlast is playing. Well, you could tell us, Everlast.
Day before the fight? October 5th? October 5th, the Brooklyn Bowl, Las Vegas. Punch in that UFC Unfiltered and get yourself a discount.
It's going to be such a good time.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
There. Happy belated birthday, too.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah.
And your birthday was recently, too, at Phoenix.
Yep.
Both of you guys, happy birthday. It was your birthday. Let's see. You know, he's going to get that shit the next birthday. He's like, what the fuck? I'm going to get Chris the producer.
Keep doing it. You keep doing it.
I'm going to get Chris the producer. You know what? Because let me tell you something. It's not his fault. It's not Lou's fault. I'm not blaming Lou. Because you know who I like to give shit to? Poe. I'm talking to Poe off to the side. You know who I like to give shit to? The regular producer. Chris the producer. You know why? Because that motherfucker, when he goes off to fucking Honolulu, he should have left me with a new clipboard. I didn't say this shit. He's the producer. He should know how this fucking ship sails. Why do I get a yacht? Why is that Lou's fault? I mean, I'm not fucking Professor X. All right, everybody. This was a great show. This was a home run. People like good times. Guys, thanks for listening. We are back next week, me and Jimmy. Everlast, thanks for hanging out.
I'm here, Doc.
Awesome, man. People, Phoenix, thank you.
Thank you.
Lou, I'm going to fucking talk to you after this show. Paul, we're out of here. Goodbye, people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.